For our next interview, a very special interview for me. This is with Ellen Huffschmidt. She is a grief counselor, a chaplain, a death doula. She's so many things. And many of you will recall our end of life radio series that we did during the pandemic in, I think, 2021 and 2022. What a pleasure it was to work with you, Ellen. And it's such a nice thing to have you back. Thanks for joining us here this morning.
Thank you. Actually, I'm really forward to it.
Yes, it's a pleasure to be talking again. And just when I called this morning, it was like, oh, trip down memory lane. So many meaningful conversations we have. And I will start by sharing that you can still access that entire series on our website simply by going to the programs menu and then scrolling down to end of life series. There's, I believe, 12 interviews in there. And I know that when the time comes in my family, I'm going to review those again. They were really powerful interviews. And we Ellen, with you and even just bringing up the whole sort of overview of all the different things we're going to talk about. You were so instrumental in getting us started. So first, let's just catch up a little bit. You have a lot going on. Your work continues. Do you want to just share the variety? I don't even know what to call you, whether to call you a grief counselor or a chaplain or one of many other things. So tell us about the work you do.
Well, I see people who are in a lot of pain, and yes, it's usually about things that they're grieving over. It could be death or illness. It could be dissatisfaction in life, depression, inability to reach our goals or desires. And I just help people with listening to their deep stories and how can they bring comfort to themselves in the choices that they've made or things that they want to change. And usually it's done through kindness, accepting ourselves deeply and finding some contemplation. That's what I've written my book on, that give you some suggestions for contemplation that allow you to deepen the richness and positivity in your own soul and life. Mm. So I'm just so happy to be here and resume these conversations with you, Katya.
Yes, it's a pleasure. And I know that your website says rites of change, transitions with courage. I remember once when we returned to my childhood home for the last time when my parents were selling it, I'd grown up there my whole life. And my aunts and uncles were there. They all lived in the Philadelphia area. And I think I was pregnant. I was very weepy. And I remember lying on my childhood bed and just thinking, we're never going to see our aunts and uncles again because there's no more hub in Philadelphia area. And I just felt overcome with loss. And my aunt came into the room, her Aunt Pixie, and she held my hand. She said, Katya, life is just a series of goodbyes. And it might sound like a terrible thing to say, but it was somehow exactly what I needed to hear. And I don't know, there was it's like change is inherently difficult. It seems like you've sort of broadened. I mean, it's not just about death anymore. It's about all types of change, right?
Really is. Mm-hmm. Because in a way, we're dying a little bit every day.
Right.
We're going out of things. We're changing. We're eating more, eating less, we're changing all the time. And to honor that as a sacred process is a beautiful thing. And I think that's what your aunt might have been trying to share with you.
Yes, yes. Let's talk a little bit about what you do now. I know you have a book and I know people can probably contact you, but I'm just thinking of people going through difficult times. Mm-hmm. It probably is hard to sometimes reach out when you're going through a difficult time. That's part of the characteristic of having a difficult time.
Yeah, it can be very hard. So I wrote actually 16 contemplations, and all of them reach to those things that we're pulled into, hopes and wishes and that lead to suffering sometimes. And so we're pulled into that. So how can we relieve ourselves of that suffering? And so these contemplations were designed to help that. One I frequently use is, may I be compassionate with myself and others. And just learning to repeat that to myself and allowing that compassion to deepen in me and awakening up my mind, I can be compassionate to myself. I'm so used to a lifetime of being hard on myself that that's really a new thought that I've now practiced for many years, and it's really changed me. Mm. And recently, my husband and I had an experience where I was scheduled to go in for a knee replacement. And then, before I had the knee replacement, my husband found out that he needed open-heart surgery.
Oh.
And so having those back-to-back, I was just overwhelmed, totally overwhelmed.
Yes.
And I kept trying to fix things, and how could I plan it? And would I need different kinds of furniture? Would I need 24-hour help? Could we afford it? Do we, you know, just everything.
Yeah.
How are we going to take care of two sick people at the same time? Until I was editing my book, and I was talking just about that issue, and it reminded me, oh, I just have to accept. That's my job now, is to accept what's happening and let the rest unfold. And so it allowed me to really be comforted just by my husband and I sitting on the couch, touching, holding mm-hmm. each other, just being present to our love and letting everything work out. And it did. It just worked out.
Yeah.
And it was once that I just let this in, that it's just going to happen, and just meet every moment with acceptance.
Yes. And of course, we always need to follow our own advice.
Yes.
You're also, I think, wonderful at being physically present with people, with families, where a loved one is about to pass or is in the final chapter, or maybe the final line of his or her life. And do you still do that kind of work as well?
I do. And I just see patience, love, allowing people to receive help, and sometimes that takes a little time. No, I'm fine. I'm okay. I don't need anything. And giving them time to accept attention and love. And actually, I came up with this idea of this book and these contemplations because when I was in hospice, I had a patient whose husband was pretty overwhelming with persistence and that he was in charge and nothing was going to happen to his wife. So he was a little domineering, and he wouldn't let the nurses even in to help him. He'd always say, no, she's all right, and he was always at her bedside. But she seemed unhappy. So that staff said, Ellen, would you look in on them? And the husband did the same thing with me,
mm-hmm.
and so she's fine. Until I called one day, and I said, is her husband there? And the staff said, no, and we're getting ready to take her into the spa, which is where they have this beautiful bath and music and lighting. And so I said, well, ask her if I can come and talk to her in her bath.
Mm-hmm.
She can have it for her and stuff. And she said, oh, yes. And so I read these contemplations to her, about seven of them, and she just loved it. And so did the staff. So the staff wrote them up and framed them and put them in her room so she could see him. But they would just look like furniture that was supposed to be there. And after a while, he softened. And I never know if he saw them and read them and took them in. But things changed. And she lived just so open-heartedly and fearlessly for about another 2 weeks. And he mellowed out. And they could just really experience this together.
Yes. I love that story because it illustrates how it's so much more than a person in isolation going through a certain phase of life. It's a whole dynamic of a family and staff and a lot of people going through a lot of things at once, which is how you are so beautiful at navigating all those different things. I remember one story you told about when you walked into a situation, I think it was in a hospital, but the family was all sort of in a panic because they said, he just wants to talk about dying. That's all he wants to talk about. And you said something like, well, that's what's happening. And it was just, and the family suddenly saw that and everything changed.
The man said to me, as soon as I saw him, I just want to die. and it sort of took me back, but I looked at him, and it looked like he could go at any moment. And I said, that's exactly what's happening.
Yes.
And take this precious time you have, take it to really connect with your loved ones and take in their love for you. And everyone just settled down. It was amazing. Yeah. I didn't really know exactly where that came from in me, but it did.
Yeah. Well, you do seem to have the knack for having the right thing come out at the right moment. And so this is a wonderful trip down memory lane. I also remember the interview we did about just sort of the physical stages of active dying and just realizing how little we know and how little exposure we have to the death of the body, and just what a good thing it was to just have so many conversations about that with you and others. Ellen, have you noticed any changes over the last few years on how people, or maybe how the medical systems, interact with the death process? Or, you know, I mean, we've talked about the things that are good, the things that are bad. You know, are things getting better or worse? Any thoughts about that?
Well, I think the awareness and reducing the fear to talk about death is improving. There are many tools that haven't been maxed out at all, but I think we're a little bit more open because of the state of the world. I mean, Travis, death are happening all over. So we're much more conscious that this could happen at any time.
Well, I was thinking about that in the light of, you know, I think for a while, maybe we had this sense that we have the untimely deaths conquered, and now we're really becoming aware that we absolutely don't. And if that could happen to them, it could happen to you. And so maybe a little bit of a silver lining of that is people's comfort and or just willingness to deal with that ahead of time is a little better. I'm glad to hear you say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well,
I have remembered what I was going to say earlier.
And
what I was talking about a lot when I did the interviews with you was that a person needs to be relaxed in order to die. We don't die. The body will not die if it's tense or fearful. And I think people are scared that they're going to live with this fear until the moment they die. Mm-hmm. But slowly, as they relax and accept what's happening, then the body will respond, it will reduce the pain. So you don't die generally unless it's an accident or something like that. You don't die in fear. Hmm. So I remember one man recently who said, I'm just so afraid to die. And I said, it's not going to happen until you relax. So don't worry about it. We'll just keep talking about it and it'll slowly come.
Yeah.
And it served him well to not perseverate on that fear, because we do relax into it.
Hmm. Yeah, death and fear are so seemingly inextricably linked in our culture. And when you say that, it separates them. I remember you saying that before, too, that even if it's just the last few seconds, you do see somebody relax into their the passing of their body into something different.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
And they come to terms with it being okay. Because when we first hear those words that maybe we have an illness or something that's terminal, I think a natural tendency is to start grasping at things and thinking about all the things you didn't do or you should do. And really, it's just letting that in slowly. This is just the way it is. It's accepting ourselves just the way we are.
Yeah, which is not really how we spend most of our life. So it's kind of a wonderful new phase for the moment. I mean, I know I can kind of have this sugar-coated view of this, but I do just love to hear you talk about it.
Well, now that I'm older and I live in a senior high-rise and I'm retired from the 9-to-5 kind of life, I still work with clients. But one of the things that I've taken from one of the contemplations that I have come from the 5 remembrances of the Buddhist tradition. And it says, may I know that my actions are my only true belongings. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground upon which I stand. And so it's really a statement about reflecting on the good things you've done in your life. We tend to minimize that and think about, oh, we haven't done, or an unrepaired relationship or whatever. But it's so important at the end of our life to think of all the wonderful connections we've made, the love that we've shared, the way we've helped other people, no matter what our life is like.
I think that might be especially true for young people dying. I know when my brother died, we had to completely reframe. But once we reframed and sort of realized, oh, like this was 18 years, amazing years. It really did help with the pain of missing him, to just sort of see his life in those terms, and not think of what could have happened had he lived to be 90, but to think of what did happen in those amazing 18 years.
Yes, and the legacy he's left all of you and your family.
Right, including my fascination with this radio series.
Yes,
yes. Yes. I'm speaking with Ellen Huffschmidt, and I just want to interject with that quickly. Go ahead, Ellen.
Oh, I was just thinking, I'm just smiling here, thinking about your brother and how he's just infused you with curiosity and appreciation of this process of our lives.
Yes. Yes. An ongoing gift he gives me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Is there anything? We are running out of time, Ellen, but I want to make sure again to highlight your new book, which I think includes these contemplations, A Gentle Practice for Tough Times. Is that what the new book?
Mm-hmm.
And what, anything else you want to say about it?
Well, the feedback I get are people are just loving it and are using the contemplations. And one of the most favorite ones is the one about being compassionate with ourselves and others. Mm-hmm. That's like, for so many people, that's a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or to just accept things the way they are and letting them unfold naturally and not summing up what we think is going to happen. And you never know.
Yeah.
People start out being afraid and then they just relax and they accept, and it's a beautiful experience. I just think of one woman in particular, her family was surrounding her, and I was invited to the house along with the rest of the hospice team, and she just died right in front of us, and she just put her arms up with a big smile on her face, and then she died.
Hmm. Wow. Thank you for that, Ellen.
It's powerful to reflect.
It is.
Life, and I'm so glad to reconnect with you.
Yes, it's been a pleasure. And this book, A Gentle Practice for Tough Times, which is available on your website at rightsofchange.com and probably elsewhere too, but I just want to highlight that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
I know people like Amazon, but they sell my books, so like them just a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much, Ellen. And I'm sure we will talk again, but it's been a pleasure.
Yes.
Thank you for your time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Ellen Huffschmidt.